Welcome to Why Are You Awake? My name is Paul Farver. I'm your host. This podcast talks to people who are up late at night, night owls, like comedians, artists, and soon maybe others. But right now, we're just interviewing comedians. And tonight, our guest is comedian Lauren Vino. Check her out online. Check me out online if you haven't already. Subscribe to this podcast at youtube.com/PaulFComedy. If you're listening where you used to listen to singles only, you can go over to the YouTube page and watch us as well. Go to PaulFComedy.com for my upcoming dates. And don't forget to support our sponsor. Hey, gang. As some of you know, I used to be a practicing lawyer in Chicago. I no longer practice, but from time to time, I need a lawyer. And when I need a lawyer, I call my friend Scott Shapiro. Scott Shapiro has been practicing law for over 25 years in Chicago. He does it all, from workers' compensation to personal injury, employment issues, and even entertainment law and contract needs. If you need a lawyer, call my friend Scott. 312-648-8800. That's 312-648-8800. Or you can email him at scott@scottshapirolegal.com. Tell him I sent you. It's time for Why Are You Awake? A podcast where we talk to night owls. I don't know why my voice all of a sudden changed to this, but we have comedian Lauren Vino here. Lauren, how are you?
I'm good. Was that your night owl voice or your radio voice or both?
I think I was just trying to be different. But
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like now I feel like the need to be like a jazzy, loungy night person.
I feel like people say that I have a soothing radio voice, and I don't know if it's offensive or not, but people, when I had the Singles Only podcast, people would be like, oh, I love your voice on there. It's just so relaxing. I fall asleep to it. I'm like, well, that's not the point of the podcast. You shouldn't fucking fall asleep. But I guess it's a listen.
It's a nicer compliment than someone being like, you have a face for radio or something
right.
like that. It's of the radio too. Compliments. It's good.
I still want to do radio. Radio, yeah. I'm ready for you. I would love to have, like, when I was doing radio before, like after shows, you go on and do the late hour. I love that. And that made me more of like a night person because I'd be like wired after a show and then I get to go to WGN and just be a guest host and just sit around and dick around. It was so fun.
It seems like natural, yeah.
I think that's where comedians go to die or like wannabe comedians take those jobs. You can take your whiskey.
No, but I feel like that's how it used to be. And now I feel like there's so much crossover between stand-up and other things where it makes sense that I feel like it's like, yes, I do agree with that stereotype, but I feel like that's changing. Yeah.
Have you done a lot of radio before? Have you been on there?
No, so I'm talking out of my ass.
It's fun when you
book
do
me.
When you do radio, like on the road when you have to go and promote in the morning and stuff. I've had to do it like maybe like less than 10 times. But it's just in these small towns, like people listen to radio still, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. But they all have like these big personalities and they just like have those sound effects from like the 80s. And they used to have like a bimbo woman to just be like, oh, we have to have a voice be like, oh, you're so funny, Hank. Like that's still out there in the real world.
It feels like it's probably like a time warp, but there's probably like weird, like 20-year-olds that work their way in there and you're like, ah, what are you doing? Like,
right.
You know?
Well, the last few times I went to radio, when I did it on the road, it was always people like in their 50s and above. Yep. But when I was working in Chicago in radio, it was all these young, you're right. It was all these super young people getting into radio. They knew how to do stuff and they would like cut things up for splice them up. For podcasts and stuff, I assume. So
journalism's a lot very similar where it's like, it's a lot of old like guard people. And then it's people scaring the old guard people, like talking about TikTok and stuff like that.
Is that you? Where do you
fit? No, I'm in the middle. Okay.
Because you're young for a journalist. I assume.
I'm definitely not old guard.
Yeah.
You know?
So, you do a lot of writing for different magazines and company and mm-hmm. papers too, or is it just?
Yeah, I've done some print stuff, but okay. Yeah, just all over.
How does that work? Tell us how that works.
It's a lot like stand up. I mean, like we were talking about with radio, it used to feel like bad doing separate things, but now I feel like it's just one of those things that's pretty conducive. It's a lot of sending emails with ideas. It's a lot of like people you know and are used to working with getting back to you and people who you're trying to get in with not. And it's a lot of like chasing down people to pay you. So it's very similar.
Do they give you like topic sometimes too. They're like, hey, you'd be perfect for this.
It is similar to that too, where like people you've worked with and have relationships before will definitely throw me work in that way, versus like other things that you're sort of like trying to level up to, you kind of have to reach out for and hustle for.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your life as a night owl. You said that you, what time is your like normal sleep time?
Well, I'm a bit of a hybrid, I think. And I think I used to be a morning person who evolved kind of into a night owl out of a necessity. But I think I'm generally speaking a bird. I'm still a bird. No, but I think night owls, I think I kind of fell into that because of stand up.
Okay.
But I think there was also a predisposition, because I think night owls are cooler people. They're like more interesting, better stories. Like even if you're like sort of wired to be a morning person, I think there's like, they're not great hangs, you know?
Did you, when you were a kid though, like, did you stay up late or were you up before your parents? Okay. So like in high school and college, were you up late and like tired in the mornings, or were you like easy to get up?
Yes. So I am up late, but I'm dumb late. Does that make sense? Or it's like, if I wanted to write a paper or cram for anything, I still had to get up in the morning, but I wouldn't stay, like I wouldn't go to bed early necessarily. It was just like, I would reach a threshold where I'm like awake, but it's not good for me or anyone.
So, but you said that you fell into it with stand up. Before you were stand up, were you doing things that were like, what were you doing late at night if you were up late?
I'm sleep averse. I'm probably like, I'm kind of an insomniac, I guess. Okay. I've never been a good sleeper. So it's more just like, I, in theory, might sleep if I could, but the act of trying to sleep is so annoying that you just naturally figure out other things to do.
Like what?
I mean, pre-internet, I would definitely like, in pre-stand-up, I would write a lot, like just in a notebook. I would write like
diary. Little,
not even that, but I would write funny little stories. Like, I used to read like your early David Sedaris's, or like my dad grew up like reading like even just like George Carlin books and like Dave Barry and like those just like essays. So it's like trying to mimic that sort of stuff before I was actually doing stand up, which I'm sure I have some of those notebooks. I'm sure it's not great. It's probably just like, you know, stories about my parents being idiots. And, you know,
have you gone back and looked at them?
I'm not recently, but it's I'm sure it's a lot of like family stuff, a lot of teacher stuff. You know, I've been kind of thinking about that recently. I should go back in there just because I don't know how to write. I'm trying to write not so much about dating and like that sort of stuff, but I'm like, what did I think about
before you're obsessed with dating.
A virgin?
Yeah. We had to clean out my parents' house when they moved. And I found I did write like books all the time, like these like little stories, and they're so bad. But there's like, it's kind of funny because you're like, and it gave me ideas to like write for jokes too. Because you're like, my older brother was like 7 years older than me. So I was like an only child. So I was like, write these stories. And then I would like make them, I try to make them autobiographical. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, oh, this is about me, but it's me. And then I have six pets. And it was called Paul and His Pets, or Tom and His Pets. And then you could tell I was writing them. It was like a stream of thought. Like I had no discipline. Kind of like now.
Could you like see yourself trying to be funny? Because that's always like, even if it like bombs, it's always funny to see that. Like,
yeah, no.
Yeah, like I
wasn't trying to be funny. I was trying to be shocking and like interesting. Like I'm like, he might die. Like, it was, or something like, I was obsessed with death for a while too. Like I was afraid of death.
So I mean, and this happens a lot with stand up too, like newer comics, but I would like imitate a lot of people. Like, okay. It would be a lot of like, I wish I could think of an example, but like a lot of trying to be funny the way like an adult man is, but not, and I don't even mean that in being like sexual, but in a just sort of like bravado kind of way.
Sure.
Of a like very just like kind of old Seinfeld-y almost tone of like, you know.
Yeah. And did it work out?
No. I mean, I would never perform. I don't think I'd ever perform them, but maybe I'll bust them out.
So before you did comedy, were you like, where'd you grow up again?
Arlington Heights.
Oh, I knew it was the suburbs.
Yeah, it could be like, it's basically one of those every suburbs where it's just like, could be whittled down to a Panera. That's like where I was born and grew up.
In a Panera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bethel.
What were you like in high school?
I was a floater. I was like, I definitely hung out with the like stoners and partiers.
Were you smoking pot when you were in high school?
I did. I had an older brother, so that's how like how I got into it. But I was very like anxious, so I didn't. I mean, I didn't like drinking because of that, which is weird because now I'm like, oh, drinking is good for that. But I didn't like being, I just. Weed was easier to like get away with, I felt like, which is dumb.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of dumb in retrospect because I wasn't fooling anybody, but it just was
you
just
thought
like,
you were.
Yeah.
Okay. And did that like, were you like out during the week when you were in high school? Were you out at nights like later? Do you have like a strict parent where your parents like you had a curfew and shit like that?
I was the baby. So, and I had an older brother who got into trouble. So I think they were worn down enough where I had like a curfew, but it was one of those things where like, even though people didn't have smartphones, there was enough of like a cell phone in the group where as long as I checked in, like it was fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And I think they wanted to turn a blind eye on certain things. They were just kind of like, you know, tired.
From your brother?
Yeah,
you?
Yeah.
Oh, did you do stuff like late at nights when you were a kid? Like when I was in high school, we used to stay up late and we would steal signs. We would steal like Taco Bell signs or like Burger King signs. Nothing like big, but like those ones that were like temporary. But that was our thing.
No, and I think
drunk driving too, of course.
We would sneak out, but never to the extent like my brother and his friends would sneak out in the way where they would like sneak out and put a car into neutral and roll it out down the block.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, I never did that. Like me and my friends would sneak out, but that was honestly the activity.
The fun was getting out.
It was. That was like in retrospect, that was the rush. And then we would just like sit at a park. I think like, I mean, sometimes if someone had alcohol, we'd drink it, but it would be like, you know, when you're a kid and you don't really understand how alcohol works and you think you're just so excited to have a few sips, you don't actually know if you're drunk. It's kind of like doing drugs where you're just like, is this working?
Waiting for it.
And you're like, just so like amped up to like see if it's working that you could like talk yourself into a buzz from a like. So it was mostly like we'd smoke a couple cigarettes if someone had that. We would drink if someone had that. But it was mostly like just like sitting at a park, like looking at each other, being like,
"This is
now
dumb.
What?"
Yeah,
and then kind of like a game of chicken, especially if it was like just girls, of being like, "I don't. This feels scary. It feels like we shouldn't
be out."
That is
kind of scary for high school girls to be out in Arlington Heights.
I don't like being out. I wouldn't want to be like out in a park now by myself. Like, I mean, I don't think anyone would like mess with me, but it's still like a weird, eerie feeling.
If someone saw you, they'd be like, "What the fuck are you guys doing?"
Yeah, they'd be like, "Who's this old lady?"
Yeah. No, I mean when you were a kid.
Yeah, back then. No, for sure. Yeah, now they'd be like, "Why is she hanging out with all these kids?"
Yeah. Right. No, if you that's a whole nother. Okay. So what was it that like if you were so for me, I'm up late and I'm doing comedy or whatever, but like I can't wake up in the morning and you seem to not have that problem. That's like the one downside of being a night owl is that you miss out. People say you're missing out on the day. But you don't really do you not need sleep? How does this work if you're a hybrid?
I will still get up in the morning. Like, I'll still get enough, like, daylight time. It's more just, like, I won't be able to enjoy it the same.
You're tired?
Yeah, exactly. So it's just more like, I have a dog, so I'll take her out. And it's like, that'll get you. You're like, it'll take away that guilt of the day. Like, you know, those days where you don't see the sun and you're like, well, this is weird. I should try not to do that again.
Yeah.
I kind of get out of that.
Okay.
But then you have enough days where it's like just rainy and crappy out where you're like, this day stuff is overrated.
I'm almost like happier when it's raining and I wake up because I'm like, all right, cool. Like I didn't miss anything.
Snow day. Yeah.
Right. But like the big thing for me about you, and you said earlier, like all the cool stuff, like I feel like all the cool stuff happens late at night and I still feel like that. But even though now like nothing cool happens anymore because I don't really party anymore, but it's like when I was in my 20s and 30s, all I did was like I was the last person closing the bars. I did not want to go home.
But yeah, I mean, and the people you meet, like I can't think of one person I've met during the day in my recent adulthood where it's been like
interesting
or someone
there's
have been
no
like
Forrest Gump at the bus stop.
No, I mean I feel like me if you were to meet just a casual stranger like during the day, it would almost like be jarring at this point.
Yeah, Well, I definitely don't. I feel like if you run into someone like at a bar, or if you're, I eat a lot of meals by myself, especially when I'm on the road, and the only people you interact with are like servers or like baristas, and they're just like, they don't want to talk to anybody. And if they do, they're weirdos.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It'll backfire when you're like trying to be like, oh, maybe I should talk to someone.
They're like, you should sign my petition. I'm like, I don't want to sign your petition.
No. So that's why I'm like, the people kind of ruin the days. You know what I mean? Where it's like, maybe days could be good if it wasn't for people.
Well, I think that being a night owl, the one thing that's, whether it's like a chicken or the egg, do you become more of a loner, or were you a loner and that's why you become like a late night person? I don't know the answer.
No, and there's all this, like, I was thinking about this when you brought up the podcast, but there is like an advocacy group for night owls. It's called like the Bee Society.
What?
And it might be British. I can't remember. Or
Bee Society, like a bee, bumblebee, or just the bee?
Like just the letter bee. And it's all about how like the world is kind of built for morning people. Yeah. And like, and that like night people are kind of like
shafted.
Yeah. And like, it sounds a little white of a complaint, but marginalized. No, it's, for lack it, of
we
a
are
better
marginalized.
Phrase. Yeah.
In a lot of ways, like, it's funny because I eat late at night. I don't like to eat before my shows. So on the road, I always have to be like, well, fuck, what's going to be open? If we have two shows on Saturday, there's only like, I don't want to eat Taco Bell. I want to go find somewhere. And there are Waffle Houses and diners, some of these places, but mm-hmm. like, especially after COVID, like nothing is open after 10. Everyone said, and you go on the apps and you're, or like the Google is like, what food open now? And they say they're open, but you get there like, oh, kitchen's been closed for like 2 hours. I'm like, you need to update your stuff.
And I can't sleep when I'm hungry. That's the other thing.
Same.
Where it was like, and
people
I was
like, just sleep it off.
Yeah.
Like, I can't.
No, I'm like, I'm going to be up till breakfast now at this point. So then you're not a night owl. You're just like a crazy person waiting for a skillet.
That's the thing. And especially now, like I don't really drink anymore. And when it's like, I'm up late and I can't go to sometimes you'll go to these places just to get food and they're so mad at you when you're not drinking. Like you go to a bar to get food at like midnight and it's like, you're not getting a drink. You're like, no, but I'll tip well. Just give me food. Like, I don't care.
And it's like your brain needs that almost food more when you're not drinking. Like, I'm not a sober person, but I feel like I at least understand brains enough to know that like, it's like you need food, like not even to be great, but you just like
sustenance
need it. Like, I mean, everybody needs food, but you like especially need that like for the sustenance, but also that like little end of night sort of thing for your brain to be like, you're good. Like, you know, you're done. Like it does the same thing that alcohol does.
Yeah. I can't sleep. Mm-hmm. I'm the same way as you. Like I can't sleep if I'm hungry and I gained a shit ton of weight in the last 2 weeks. So I'm like so conscious of it. So when I was doing shows this weekend, after every show, I'd go to the hotel gym and work out at like midnight. And I do that a lot, but then I'm like, oh fuck, now I'm hungry. Cause I just worked out and there was nothing open.
But that's what's interesting is I feel like the wellness sort of space has evolved to sort of suit late night workouters, but healthy food hasn't, which is just like, are we just all supposed to not eat? I know I worked out. It might seem like I might not want to eat, but I actually do.
I need to eat. I need to, especially afterwards. Yeah. You work out. Sometimes you're hungry and like stuff and you can only eat so many like bags of chips or something. And then it's like, it feels like you defeated the whole purpose of the workout.
No, and I also feel like this is kind of comes back to this thing of like society being built for morning people versus like anybody else. Is that like
eating?
The stereotype that eating late is unhealthy.
That's not true.
It's not. It's just that like not eating late at night is the easiest way to lose weight if you're really lazy, like in terms of just like, you know, how metabolisms work and like sleeping.
Everyone has a different
but it's just like, that's not like eating late at night doesn't automatically equal bad.
Yeah,
is my point.
And that's the thing, like if you're up later, I'll people are like, you should stop eating late at night. I'm like, well, me eating at 10 o'clock is like you eating at 7, because you're going to bed at 11, I'm going to bed at 3, so it's the same fucking thing. And they're like, their brains like blow up. They're like, whoa. I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. And when I eat late at night, I don't eat when I wake up. So it's like the same, I'm getting the same benefit.
Well, when people talk about intermittent fasting and like only eating between like 11 and 7, it's like I'm hungry for almost for a, not a lot of those hours. Right. And it's like I feel like that's those are shortcuts for people who just like don't know how to like listen to their body or like
they don't want to put in the work to work out. They're like, "Oh, if I don't eat, I'll be." And it is a big part of that. Eating diet is a big part of weight loss, I guess, allegedly.
Morning people are the lazy slugs is my point. Not
fuck
night
those assholes. They're marginalizing us. The one thing I remember when I moved to Lincoln Park in Chicago, I'd always want to go to the farmer's market, and it would piss me off so much that I missed all these things. Like, why can't they serve go till 1, or why can't brunch go till 3:30? These are the things we're marginalized.
I feel like it's sort of getting better post COVID, but like at least when stuff started opening. But when stuff started opening up again, like after that, it was terrible. You couldn't find anything open late.
Oh, right.
Like food wise at all. Now it's like a little bit better, but like I really do miss New York in that way where you could a diner, like I would love to go grocery shopping after this. And there's just like nothing where
there is. I used to do grocery shopping late at night at Jewel Osco. I don't know if it's still there, but it was you'd see the coolest people at midnight. It was like the best. I met Billy Corgan there from Smashing Pumpkins. I met like other musicians all the time there, just eating or doing grocery shopping.
Like, are they open 24 hours? Or
I don't know
like,
if they I still think it's are, like, yeah, but they used to be.
No, I feel like there were some like 24-hour grocery stores like out there. There might be some here. Yeah. And they're always overpriced and like a huge markup like to be open that late, but it was worth it, you know?
Yeah, and there's no one's there, so you don't have to wait in lines. It's like quick. You have the whole place to yourself.
Closing time in a grocery store does seem cool because like the light is already harsh. You know what I mean? There's no thing like in a bar where you just like have to like look at everybody. You all walk in looking rough.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true too. What other things do you do after shows? Like if you have a show. Are there things that you can do to like, are you wired after a show? So how do you come down?
I usually want to eat something. Like, I don't know if you do this, but I will be thinking about what I'm going to eat after
I'm thinking about it as soon as I get up.
Almost
on stage.
As much of my jokes, if not more, depending 100%. On the vibe of the place and like, you know, how dialed in I am
100%.
And how hungry.
100%. The first thing I'm thinking about is where are we getting food after this? And a lot of comedians, there's a few of us that we always go to the same place after Golden Apple. We're just going to get food and they know us there. It's like perfect. But
I do think that there should be a diner in like everywhere. There's a comedy club and they should all like be a part of the same sort of business.
They can be inside the comedy club.
Yeah. No, for sure. Because it's like those things should go together.
No brainer.
It's like I'll make my own bacon. Like it's just to have this stuff.
Or you could just self-serve it like breakfast food.
Yeah.
And it's all I want is breakfast food all the time. Are you productive after you do your shows? Like are you just like after? Let's say you go, you have a great show. You go, you get food.
No, I'm hungry, so I turned it around and you. I didn't answer the question. Yes, So part of the reason why after shows, I like. I don't know if you have this, but I don't really like it when people I know come to shows, which is a bad instinct as someone who's trying to build an audience and be a draw.
Because then you have to talk to them afterwards.
Well, it's because like even if it's someone I like, even if it's someone I've shared many meals with and enjoy, it's like, I don't know if I'm just going to have one of those nights where I just, even if it's a good set, you know, when you just want to eat alone or with comics? Like
all the time.
It's just there's just a certain, and I don't know if I'm gonna feel that way. So it's like I'd rather not have like anyone I need to force it with. Even a close friend, even a family member. Like, but So I would always want to have the option of
that causes me anxiety too. By the way, I agree with you 100%.
It's literally something only comics understand when I've talked about it. But I always want the like. Option, and it's not even because I think it's going to go badly. I can feel this way if the set goes in like either exactly way, how I want it to go, but where you just want to eat and only talk to comics or eat alone. So there's that, but so I usually have a little bit of that going on, and then I'll want I mean, sometimes depending on if you're with comics, like stay out and socialize. It's not necessarily a drinking right. thing, but just like that you're wired and kind of
sure.
riffing and making each other laugh. So depending on the hang that, but if everybody's just going home, I like to go home, putter around with my dog, listen to some music. And then if I haven't eaten, I'll eat at home okay. usually. And then, I like a late night bath. I'm a bath gal.
Oh, that's disgusting.
I know. And it's a new couple years thing. This wasn't my whole,
wait, do you take baths and then shower afterwards or do you just bath and you think that cleans you?
I don't think it cleans me. Okay. But
it's like a relaxing
thing. Cause I do think it's just a relaxing thing, but that was my hang up on baths my entire life.
It's disgusting.
I didn't get into them until like the past like 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
I mean, probably 4 years cause they're a Chicago specific thing. I never took baths in New York.
Oh, okay. They're not when you say a Chicago specific thing, you mean for you?
Yes. Like okay. Because
people take baths outside of Chicago.
Yes. No, for sure. They're illegal in any other city.
I think it's disgusting. I think it's the worst thing in the world. And I fight with people about this all the time. So you take a bath mm-hmm. and then you go into your bed with all that filth.
Yes. Unless it's very cold out, I'll take a bath. This is very gross. I'll take a bath before I walk my dog because it's like cold out. So I feel like I'll like kind of like boil myself. So I'm like warm on the walk.
That's going to make you, then you go into the cold. That's actually bad.
It's so bad. And it's like a weird,
you get sick.
It's like a fucked up spa I'm running in my own apartment, yeah. But like I'll go. So I'll come home after a show, maybe be like a little buzzed. I'll take a bath. I'll get all like gross and sweaty in there, like to heat my body up, and then I'll put on clothes and like bundle up, and then I'll take so. And
is
then
there
I'll
bubble?
Go to
is
bed.
There shampoo? Like, is there soap in this bubble in this bath? Like a bubble bath or something?
Sometimes soap, sometimes Epsom salts. But this is something I'm gonna regret saying. I'm not above just sitting in hot water with nothing, which I do think is gross. Like I will
a renter,
be the
right?
first to admit it. Yes.
Okay, and the building that you live in is how old? Approximately.
Well, I mean, it's not new. Okay. It's, yeah.
So you realize that bath that you are in has housed multiple people over the years.
Some of them could have died in there.
Some of them could have shit in there or delivered a baby in the 60s.
And everyone's just surprised it's not me. Like after 3 years in there.
That's so gross.
I'm sorry to upset you. Yeah, this is my dark secret as the night owl. I like a night bath.
Let's take this into your dating world because that's your niche. What if you have a great show, you meet up with someone that you're hanging out with or you talk to? What happens next? What do you guys do?
I ruin it by talking about my baths.
Do you invite the person into the bath?
No, I mean some, but like,
is it big enough for two?
No, I've never had a romantic bath scenario. I've definitely had tries to like, guys like try to like
shower.
No, when I've talked about being a bath gal, try to like make it sexy or, you know, but it's never like,
yeah,
something I usually do with a significant other there.
Okay. Good for you.
No, I mean, I'm a single person out there dating, but I think the like late night hookup thing, I don't know if you have this, the older I get, the more it's like, I'm not turned off by spontaneity. It's just harder for me to wrap my brain around where it's like, I just feel like I need more.
Notification. Sure. Preparation.
And that's a new thing for me. It's like hard to admit that to myself and harder to communicate to other people of like, hey, I at least need to know like the day of that. Like
I've had girls,
this might happen.
I've had girls be like, I'm like, hey, do you want to get food? They're like, yeah, but we're not hooking up. Right. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Like, but they say that. And then I'm like, okay, well, we're just going to go get food and that's fine. But I think they say that because they're like, they're not ready to be intimate, whatever the fuck that means.
And I've said that a lot of times and I've stopped saying it because it's like, it almost feels like a jinx. Cause it's like when you do say that, I feel like it's like, I feel like an old joke of someone's of like where you don't shave your legs and then you it anyways. It's just like, you know,
I feel like if
you're
I'm
just daring yourself,
if I'm on a date with someone and they shaved their legs and you're like, so you knew this was going to happen. Like that's, I feel like that's like a,
yeah.
is that, Am I gonna get canceled for saying that?
No, but I think no one's going on the date being like, did you shave your legs? Or if you did, right. They'd be like, I did, but I regret it.
I used to have a girl this is like when I was in my 20s. She'd come over here, we'd hook up, but right before she'd run to the bathroom, and I didn't know what she was doing until the next day when I would, and she did it multiple times when we'd hook up. She would take my shaver and just shave her legs and her privates before we hooked up. Like, cause she's kind of, I think she's like a hairier person, I guess. She's Italian.
No, I mean, I feel like that's like a comfortable, like it's not like a serious boyfriend girlfriend intimacy, but that's like there's an intimacy with like a repeat hookup that sure. You can kind of do so, that's also nice, you know. But I think the hard thing with hooking up, and as I get older, and the night owl thing, is there's this like weird, and it used to be I think more fun when you were younger, but that like weird standoff of like who can stay up later. And and maybe that's like just like a
pattern. You mean, I'm just trying to understand what you mean. When you're on a date or something like that?
Not a date.
Or when they're already
like back home
hooking with up.
Like when you're in
post-coital.
No, when you're pre-coital. When you're in that like limbo with someone you haven't hooked up yet.
Yet,
where there's a vibe. I feel like that's more of a younger person experience where it's like almost like you're playing like chicken with making a move. And then you're just like literally up till 5 a.m. doing that. And I mean, and that could speak to like the dude's energy as I'm saying it out loud.
No,
but you know what I mean? Where it's like, especially when, and I think that's a younger experience too, because it usually has to do with someone, it's usually someone when that happens.
I think that also happens when you're like, okay, if we start it, at least from a guy's perspective, it's like, all right, we just got home, it's like 11. You are, especially if the other person isn't a night owl, they're like, okay, we're going to be up for, if we watch a movie, we're going to be up for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then we're going to start hooking up. That's going to be, it's going to be a long time.
We'll sort of have weekdays where I'm like up late, and then on weekends, if I don't have a show, like you're either working, or if I like am not working, I don't necessarily like want to go do normal weekend things that like
other people, normal people do.
Yeah, like yeah. I don't have that thing that 9 to 5 weekday people have, and that's been a problem with dating where they would like want to go out have a weekend.
They don't get it. This is our work. Yeah,
exactly. Where I'm like, I might like want to meet up with you after a show or before, but I'm not gonna get drunk because I have to go up. Or you know what I mean? Or I'm not gonna it's a
fucked up situation. Yeah, especially with the personal lives too. It's like you being a night owl and being in this industry, it's like you've limited yourself to, and you miss out on a lot of stuff, or people don't understand, like your friends who are not comedians, like how does that play out for you? Like are you still friends with your high school friends and stuff like that?
I am, but like most of them have kids, so it's like I think
they're
when
dead
it,
to you.
It's more like I'll go over there and have like dinner when I have a free night. But because I'm there's kind of like this unspoken understanding that I'm going to come to you. But because of that, I'm not going to get guilt tripped for not being able to like go to like weird weekend birthday, things or like that sort of thing. But like,
well, that's a good way. But the trade off.
And I mean, it's like a core group of like, 3 or 4 people.
Well, that's a really good idea. Like, yeah. It's like, I'll do this, but you can't be mad at me because I can't go to the next 6 concerts that you guys are all going to.
And they might all actually be mad at me, but they still let me come over for dinner. No, I don't think they are though.
Maybe. I don't know. So as far as your personal life, whether it's dating or whatever, do you think it would be better if you weren't a night owl? Like, do you feel like, what are the cons?
Are you
missing out?
Yeah, I mean, I think having a normal day structure is probably good for dating, but I don't think the trade-off is worth it, or it's just, I don't even know how I would switch to being a day person.
Yeah. Have you gone on dates with, I know we've talked about this when you were on the Singles Only podcast, but since that time, have you figured out what the balance is? Have you stopped like hooking up with comedians and focusing on like other night owl factors?
No, because I mean, I definitely haven't dated any sort of naturally scheduled night owls. I think I've fallen
into naturally scheduled night
like a bar person, or, you know, someone who like
service industry type people.
Yeah, that's hasn't happened to me. Or you've definitely recommended musicians.
I did.
Not specifics, but just like as the livelihood.
Your brother's a musician. He should be able to hook you up with some of those folks.
Yeah, true. And this has come up before too. And I don't even know if I've said that before, but it's like, I think when you're a person who has had a bad track record dating, you almost don't want to dip in pools of people you know, because I'm like,
oh,
and I think that
because of the circles with your brother, you mean?
Yeah, it's, and it's, I think, speaks to me being like, oh, maybe it is me, because I'm just like, I might ruin something with like one of his friends. I'm not certain.
Are you a bad breaker upper?
I'm not a bad breaker upper, but I do think I am more unavailable and avoidant than I realize sometimes. Like, I think it's like one of those like twists where it's like, oh, I'm the fuck boy sometimes at the end of things.
Okay.
Where it's like, I can kind of disguise it a little bit and like kind of, you know, be like a little scared or a little shy, but like I think I'm a little just like unavailable in a way that doesn't present like a traditional straight guy.
Okay. Are you on the dating app still?
It's on my phone, but I'm like not talking to anybody. I'm not going to say anything mean, but I just sort of ended something with someone who was kind of a night owl, but because he had sleep apnea, and that was hard because it was just like
he had the machine.
Yeah.
Oh no.
And I think, I mean, and it's, I think because I'm a bad sleeper too. That freaked me out a little bit because like sleep is already just such like a thing.
What freaked you out about it?
I mean,
did you see yourself be getting sleep apnea later?
No.
Just because they had the machine was like Darth Vader.
It was just the idea of like, tons of other commitment issues. So it's like, I don't want to put this on this person, but the idea of just like not being able to like share a bed. I'm like such a finicky sleeper anyways.
Oh, you can't
that,
share
like,
a bed?
Well, like,
because the machine is bigger or something? Don't they have like the smaller ones?
The noise and the just like disruption of it. And it's just like, even with the mask on, it's very like, it's a lot.
Well, I remember I was afraid that I had it because so many people have told me, I have a joke about it too, where they're like, you have sleep apnea. I got tested. They're like, you're very close to getting it. So you got to watch out.
So do you snore?
Oh, I snore horribly. Horribly. But it's not, I mean, I haven't tested in a long time. But anyway, I just picture, like, I wouldn't even wear like that. I used to grind my teeth, and I wouldn't even wear that thing to like prevent it. It was like a thing that pulls your
jaw.
I haven't.
I don't wear it. I just like, I just I'm like, got I can't Botox imagine. In my jaw because I grind so much. But I was like, I'm not going to wear that thing.
You did Botox for your jaw for that?
Yeah. Because
does it work?
I mean, it works. It's like a little preventative, yeah. but you have to keep doing it, yeah. And it's expensive, and I should wear my mouth guard.
Yeah. I'm not going to, I don't do that. But I remember I'd be like, well, I can't put this on if a girl's sleeping over. And that's why I was like, I'm like, fuck, if I got a sleep apnea mask, it's over. I got to like commit to one person.
This is why people get, married. Exactly. It's like, if I have a mouth guard, I should have gotten a husband. Yeah. So it's like, this is
sleep
just
apnea machine, baldness. These are all things that I would.
No. And this dude was great. Like he's like, I don't have a lot of negative things to say, but like the sleep thing, I think is tricky, especially when you're a night owl, a bad sleeper, and set in your ways. Like, I think I don't mean to be bleak, but I think I'm reaching sort of a point of acceptance where I'm like, I'm kind of,
it's okay,
you know,
to do it.
Yeah. It's just like, I meet older couples now that are like, yeah, we just live separately. We like almost never sleep in the same bed. And I do think that that's like,
what you're going to do.
No, I mean, I wouldn't rule it out as like a thing.
Well, when I'm dating someone, and they have like a day job, I typically like, I'll wait till they fall asleep, and then I'll get up, go in another room, and like do whatever the fuck I was going to do anyway. And then I'll go back to sleep like around 3, and they go to work at 7 or 8, And there's like that, you have that time where you're in the bed at the same time, but
it's tricky.
Not disrupting them.
Yeah, I feel like you need some sort of good sleep chemistry with a person, which is tricky, like being a bad sleeper and a night owl. Like, I feel like the last like singles only podcast I did with you was I was dating someone who I had problems with like literally every other area of life, but like we had really good sleep chemistry and it was like nice. Like that part
What's
was
good
nice.
Sleep chemistry.
Like you could cuddle.
He was a night owl too.
No, it, but like what's but not be annoyed with my schedule. Like,
got it.
I do. This is so my relationship fantasy, which literally like is not a great deal for like any dude. I will preface this is like someone where I can just like come over after a show, like eat, maybe smoke a little weed, hang out, maybe hook up, but like depending on how late it is, like,
yeah.
Definitely not necessary or whatever. But doesn't snore. And which is like, I feel like such a bitch saying that
it's
because
not. Go ahead. So what's the other part of this thing?
And likes coffee in the morning. I keep meeting dudes who don't drink coffee. I've developed this weird warped, like straight male stereotype where I'm like, all straight men don't like coffee, which is like, not true.
It's insane. I can't not have coffee. I sometimes, even when I'm flying and I have like an early flight, I have to drink just a little coffee so I don't get a headache. Like there's no way I can't drink coffee. So that's everything you said is pretty normal. That's not,
it's not crazy. Like it's not an unreasonable thing. And I like,
do you like to sleep at your own home or are you okay doing away games?
I like, you know,
see,
because I'm kind of a
else.
Starving artist and like given the people like I've sort of gone back and forth dating over the years, I do like a guy with a nicer bed than me.
Okay.
And that doesn't mind like letting me sleep.
What about
like,
your dog? Do you have to go
that's
check
the
tr- dog?
That's the tricky part. Like I need a guy that'll like let me bring my dog and you know again it's a lot to sign up for.
Yeah, you got a lot. You got, well, I have a friend who's thinking about getting a dog and I'm like, don't do it. Like she's single too. I'm like, it's gonna be a fucking nightmare for you, especially because she wants to date someone. I'm like, don't add more variables to the equation.
Well, and the people I keep, like,
especially if you travel a lot.
Not always, but the like some of the people I've clicked with have dogs, and then that's a whole thing of like, what if the
dogs
don't get along? And it's just
how is this going to end for you? I don't even know.
I love my dog more than any man, so it's like fine, but yeah, it's not ideal. Okay. I need a guy who wants a dog but doesn't have one. Doesn't snore, is
sleep
okay
chemistry.
With the hypocrisy of me sometimes sleep talking and maybe yelling or punching. I don't do that all the time, but I sometimes do it. I do it a couple times a year. Sorry, I buried the lead on this.
You sleep scream?
Sometimes. If I'm really stressed out, yes.
When you wake up, do you know what's going on? Do you remember what the dream was or something?
My only long-term ex, I would like wake up in arguments with him and not like, no, and granted, like he probably could have caught on after a while that I was like, this is something I would do. But yeah, no. So it's a little sleep. There's a little sleep disorder stuff going on there. But yeah, even as a kid, it's sleepovers. Like if I was like,
you were sleep screaming then?
Yeah. Well, I would beat the shit out of people in my sleep.
In your sleep?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah. So I should have probably led with this as like, this probably brought me into being a bad sleeper and a night owl because I was like
a
ninja.
Sleep bully. What is that even called? You just beat people up? How does that?
Yeah, I would like punch people at like sleepovers and stuff like that. I don't know what happened.
Question. If someone's sleeping over the first time, do you say that happens? Or when do you let people in on this?
No, because it's not a regular enough thing in like relationships. Like as a kid, sure. And I'm like, I only sibling was my brother. So it's like, I think everyone was like,
do you get up and like sleepwalk and be fine victims? Or are you just in your bed?
It's not like sleep street fighter. But I mean, I have slept walk at, I don't think as an adult.
Give me, when was the last time you sleep punched somebody? Was it in the last year?
I don't think I've slept, not in recent years. The biggest one was in college. In college I had a bunk bed and I was technically on the top bunk.
Sure.
And the there was another bed. My roommate, she always slept at her boyfriend, so I'd always sleep in her bed.
Okay.
And they were there one night, so I slept up there. And I was a little drunk, but I was also tired and on cold medicine, and I sleep face planted, like
off the bunk.
Yeah, and I got a rug burn on my eye.
That's not punching somebody.
No, right? I didn't punch anybody. That was punching myself, essentially.
Do you wake up when you're alone and you see like the pillows are all like pummeled?
No, there was like it's never like that bad. It's always like someone like you kicked me in the stomach or like something like that, or like you knocked the wind out of me.
But that's how they're sleeping too, right?
Yeah.
So they wake up and they're like, oh, and my eye is bleeding.
I was more physical as a kid. So I think as an adult, it was like I would be like having an argument in my sleep with my ex. Like I would be like stressed out and I'd be like yelling in my sleep about just like, I'd be like, this is one that was like relayed back to me, but I'd just be like rolling around being like, fuck you. Like that.
But you're sleeping.
But I'm asleep or whatever.
Okay. It's not violent, just aggressive Tourette's.
Yeah. So it's like, I think it's evolved into more verbal aggression as I've gotten older. But as a kid, I would beat the shit out of people.
So in the last 5 years, have you had any physical altercations in your sleep with somebody else?
Not that I can recall.
Okay.
I mean,
that's a good legal answer. It's like a deposition. Okay.
No, I mean, like maybe an elbow thrown, but nothing like
I get elbowed.
Nothing notable.
I get elbowed. It's the good thing about my snoring is if you elbow me, I just turn around. It's just certain angles I can sleep and there's no snoring. But if I'm on my back, you're fucked. It's loudest and it's it sound like I'm dying.
But I like all that is to say that like I talk a big game against snoring and sleep apnea, but like I will like have a full argument next to you.
Argue and possibly assault your person.
And I don't know if it's coherent enough to be like give up secrets about like what I'm upset about, but I'm scared it might be like I might say something I secretly feel
about the person.
Yeah, it's usually probably incoherent, you know what I mean, but like something might slip out that it like is how I actually feel is what I'm worried about.
Wow. Okay, well good luck with that.
Yeah, so it's like people like wonder why I'm alone. It's like,
well, wow. You haven't beat anyone up in your sleep yet, so that's a good thing, but these are all good signs. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But well, we're out of time, Lauren. I really appreciate you coming in and teaching us. I do want to look up this B society, whatever you talked about, where they marginalize us.
Night people are marginalized, and I won't beat the shit out of you guys if you date me.
No, it's not a singles only podcast anymore, but it is good to know that your sleep assaults have
they've trickled down.
May have played a role. Maybe some of these guys are, maybe you're falling asleep at their houses and then you're just waking up punching them.
I will say it wasn't not a problem with me and my ex-fiance. Like we definitely had like sleep, like fighting issues. Like it wasn't our only issue, but it was definitely an issue. So that one's on me.
Where can people find out more about you and your upcoming events and your articles and stuff that you write?
Probably best place is Instagram. I'm at Boxed Veto.
Why? Has anyone asked you to change it?
No.
It's like when I was a lawyer, we'd interview people and they'd be like, their emails would be like, Bob 12 69 80, and you're like, come on dude, like you're a lawyer now, don't fucking, you gotta upgrade at some point.
It's one of those things where it does remind me of how no social media platform ever feels real when it becomes the thing, where it was just like my Twitter is still Lauren Veno, but like literally no one uses Twitter now, and it's like Instagram was like, this will never take off, and I was like, let's just be clever, my last name is Veno. People like boxed wine.
So fucked up.
And yeah, I guess now I'm passively TikToking and it's the same handle. So
Boxed Veno.
Yeah.
Oh God.
I'm committed.
Well, that's good that you can commit in one thing there, Lauren. Thank you for coming on the podcast. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. Thank you all for watching and listening to another episode of Why Are You Awake?